The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Glory to God. Father, I will ask you to heal hearts in this meeting. Answer questions. Bring answers. Bring healing. Bring solutions. Thank you, Father. Let this moment be a defining moment for people in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to make this teaching very short and brief, but I want us to take a little time to pray. I'm talking about healing the male child. I told you guys yesterday, this is one of the major reasons the Lord asked me to call this meeting. It's bad enough that it's going to be a short time, but let's see. Are we recording? We're recording, right? Hallelujah. Luke 6, verse 45. Put up King James first. Glory to God. Now, are you in Luke 6, 45? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So, the state of a man's heart will determine the person's action, even his speech. So, what a man produces in his conduct is a product of what is in his heart. Amen? Even what he says. So, if a man has thinketh in his heart, so is it. And so, when there is damage within, it begins to affect some people. Say, oh, that's just who I am. That's just how I talk. That's just how I see things. How you see this. And these things are caused, all these damages are caused by experiences. Some when they were growing up, some when they have grown up. And I can tell you some of these experiences that some of you had that has damaged some things. I'll just tell you some of the damages that it has had. For instance, some guys grew up lacking love from their parents. That in itself creates a lot of hole. How many of you are in that category? Grew up lacking love or care or attention from your father. And this is what produces. I'll tell you what this produces. Some people that finally, I was talking about courtism, that finally jump into courtism, this is what caused it. Because they are looking for acceptance, what they couldn't find in the home. So that's, if you are in that, if you grew up lacking true love from your parents, you need some healing in your heart. Amen? Even if it's going to affect you. Some others grew up with same thing, verbal abuse. You grew up seeing your father and your mother insult you or curse you. I know women have bad mouth. And you're growing, you're hearing that you need some kind of healing. Because they grow up, it forms them. You can never produce anything good. You can never do this. Look at your head. Look at your heart. Look at your this. Once a child grows up with verbal abuse, the guy is hurting. Amen? And as I'm saying these things, this is that can damage children, damage male children. Begin to decide that you will not be that kind of father to your parents, to your children. Hi, you see, I pastor people. I see people come, because I've pastor people, young people for a very long time, once they come in, I can almost perceive that this one has a problem. Once they come in, I can almost perceive that something went wrong from the house. Sometimes when they ask, when they talk around me, I just say, well, that one needs healing. He needs to be fine. And so, you talk about people that suffered hatred when they were growing up, from parents, from stepmothers, and all that, even stepfathers. Amen? You have all of that. You talk of verbal abuse. And sometimes this verbal abuse stretches to comparison. You grew up watching your father or your mother compare you with other children. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? And you know how much it does. The only problem is that you think you've outgrown it. When I now go to what these things produce, you find that the effects are still there. You grow up watching your father compare you. Say, he's not that child. Can't you see the result? And it can come as small as nursery 3, primary 1. I don't get the point. You know something parents do when it comes to love? It looks like parents pour all their love on their first children. Have you observed that? And then the next ones that come have to manage. And many people are suffering from that. I don't get the point. I've seen it happen. Pour all their love. And you know, children interpret a lot of things in different ways. When this guy did graduation from nursery school, they bought him a suit. When it's now my own turn, they said I should use the suit they bought for him. The child has written it in his heart. Daddy doesn't love me. If you're ever going to do that kind of thing because there's no money, make sure you explain to that child very well. If not, you will grow up believing nonsense. What do you think produced the kind of terrible family that Jacob had? Not Jacob had a terrible family. A family of 12 guys that 10 conspired to sell one of their brothers. Look at that kind of bitter family. What produced it? They were not feeling loved by their father. The reason was because their father did not want to marry their mothers. You know the story, Jay? Their father was serving and waiting for Rachel, the main wife. And after serving for 7 years, they brought Lee to him and forced her on him. So he married her by force. In the process, Lee's maid also came and he married her too. In the process, Rachel's maid came. That's how the marriage happened. So he had 4 people that he had children through. So only 2 came from the wife he really, really loved. That was Joseph and Benjamin. And he transferred every love to them. The love he had for the mother went to them. And the children grew up bitter. So imagine children that can settle down and plan and sell their brother. So verbal abuse. Physical abuse too. Some of you grew up being physically abused by your parents. Now, there is a difference between discipline and physical abuse. I hope you know. Do you know? Discipline is as sparing the rod and not spoiling the child. You're not sparing the rod, rather you're trying to. But there is physical abuse where you are killing a child. No, when I hear some kind of discipline that some parents meted out to their children, I say this child just has to be damaged. Amen? And don't ever be like that to your kids. Discipline children if you must. You know, it was Bishop Oyedepo I heard one day that said, we don't use cane in my house because I'm not raising cows. I just want you. He said, my children are not animals. There's no cane in my house. You know, Bishop? You know, you must learn that. And so people, some of you grow up being abused. They beat the hell out of you. No, I'm not talking about normal discipline that they used to discipline. There is flogging, you know, don't count it as abuse. But there is abuse. A woman was going to, I'm telling you this one did not happen, was going to discipline my classmates. Just one. This lady, is not the auntie, not the mother anyway. I'm not telling you what I didn't see. We'll get razor. Use it on the child. Raw pepper and be flogging the child. That thing is not discipline. That is physical abuse. That child will grow up broke.
Somebody is complaining. What they gave me a
I'm telling you, we're in JS1, I can't forget it. The guy's name is still in my head, his surname, everything. He will come to school, open his, he will see. They say, well, I say, he's a thief. This boy used to steal. I say, They say, you should kill him. You see the back. That guy must grow up a wicked person. If Jesus doesn't meet him along the line and begin to take care of him, he'll grow up wicked. He might not even know that's what made him wicked, though. But that's what made him wicked. That's why I tell people, you see, I'm mentoring or fathering in this church. You give birth to children, you do them anyhow. We come and take them from you. You can't kill children because you're fathering them. You don't know how to father. Just be born in and be going. And be bringing money. Praise God. Then there is sexual abuse too. You know, guys don't used to agree that this happened to them. But many guys were sexually abused. Sometimes an older maid in the house. You get the point? As the child is growing up, you know, begin to mess with the child. But you see why society is bad? Nobody's ever talking about it. All they know is that some bigger men are abusing some ladies. Which is still bad, though. My point is, I'm not against fighting for women. But you cannot talk down one gender to promote another gender. I get what I'm saying. If you want to fight sexual abuse, fight it everywhere. If it happens to the women, fight. If it happens to the man, fight. You see mates. And that's how I'm coming to shortly. That's how the guys grow up and they become addicted to sex. You're wondering, where is this coming from? It's something that went wrong. Or sometimes they grow up and become mean towards women when it comes to sex. They want to sleep with anybody on the street. They are still angry from what happened when they were growing up. Let me get a point. Sexual abuse, many people are suffering from it. But they don't know. So, different kinds of abuses. I can also talk of this. One thing that makes men hurt, too, that breaks men, is disappointments, failures. Failures. This disappointment may be you disappointed yourself, or you failed at life, or there was a delay. Some of you started getting broken when you road jammed 6 years. You began to feel you can no longer meet up with your mates. That in itself is very deep. Or, I've not made money like them. You disappointed yourself. And then, sometimes you did something you never expected you would do. That's why you see, if you are a father here, or you're going to be a father tomorrow, when your child makes a terrible mistake, after correcting the child, call that child back and restore his esteem. Because the first thing he struggles with is guilt for disappointing himself. I get what I'm saying? For making that kind of big mistake. If you don't correct, you think you've corrected the child, don't do that. And then you say, Daddy, I'm sorry. He leaves that place feeling, I knew I was not going to achieve anything in this life. Are you following me? So guilt. And then, disappointment. Sometimes you have these hurts come from peer intimidations. Hallelujah. From intimidations from your peer groups. This one is what produces, I'm coming to this shortly, what produces, for instance, cultism. Cultism. Because your friends, and you know, you wanted to happen to me. Some of you know my story now. There's somewhere we used to go then when we were growing up. See, you can come because we used to go play game. You can come to this game house to play game, and you're sitting down, and one small boy can just walk in. You know, I say, I better stand up, I won't sit down. Are you wondering, where is this one coming from? I want to do something, just shout out, roommate, and they're crowding on you. And you are gone. I didn't get a point. And that intimidation, some people don't ever heal from it. That's why you see guys that cannot speak before people, they cannot address people. They've been intimidated by their peers. I didn't get a point. Strong intimidation from peer groups. Some others suffer rejection. Even if at any level in your life you were rejected, you see, you need some kind of healing. Rejection. You have things around pressure. Some of this pressure comes from parents. Some of this pressure comes from friends. Some of this pressure comes from society. This one is why I'm killing our generation now. Pressure. Many guys need to heal from it. That's why in our generation, a boy of 17 years is thinking about Benz. When I was growing up, at 17 years, we didn't think about Benz. I didn't get the point. But there's so much pressure from the society. And the guy is sick from these pressures. Society is on him. Family is on him. Didn't you hear that social person has bought this? Didn't you hear that? And you're just wondering what is wrong. Parents are on you too with the pressure. Those are wounds that people have, that things that have hurt many people. And look at what this thing produces. This thing begin to produce, one of the things it produces, all this I mentioned, is a low self-esteem. If you see any guy that is feeling a fear, he has low self-esteem. And if you are like that, there is an answer for you this afternoon. Are you getting the point? Low self-esteem. The guy can't stand up before his peers. The guy is not bold. He's not courageous. He's shaking. He can't even face life with boldness. Low self-esteem. Are you following me? Very terrible stuff. The guy has an assignment from God. He cannot attack it with confidence. Why? He's feeling inferior. Inferiority complex. If I don't even go a bit, the guy doesn't even have confidence to talk to a woman. And you think it's no, and some of you know that. So sometimes it's from home that they shut you down. You are now very calm. You are having serious low self-esteem. The intimidation may be because they are telling you you don't have height. Your friends are telling you, see your height. So you now grow up believing, I don't have height. And there's low self-esteem all over the place. And if you have low self-esteem, you cannot achieve much. If you have inferiority complex, you can't achieve much. Now, you now begin to see people begin to smoke, do drugs, because they're having low self-esteem. So, they want to do something that will make them belong. I get what I'm talking about. Something that will make them belong. Praise God. If let me put something to you. Some people that bury their head in their books, this is still their problem. I'm not saying it's bad to read, though. Some, because they want to prove somebody wrong. They feel it's only by passing that exam that they will belong to society. It's an esteem issue. You should pass. But see the problem with that thing. If the person ever fails, the effect it will have on him will be deeper than just failing. Because passing that exam means more to him than passing. Who's God I'm talking about at all? It means acceptance to him. So the guy is reading, you think he's a serious student? No. He wants to belong. He wants to prove to society that he's something. Esteem. Another thing this thing can produce is the reverse of this esteem thing is pride. Some people, what it manifests in them is they become very proud. The thing hits them, they become very proud. You know, pride sometimes is a sign of low self-esteem. I don't know if you know. When you are feeling inferior, some people cover their own up with pride. They're trying to, when you are proud, they're trying to cover something. That is inside. You see, as something else, you know, you find pride, you find drug addiction sometimes is because somebody is hurting. Somebody has been moved. Somebody wants acceptance from friends. Somebody wants acceptance from his peers. Somebody wants to belong. Something has not been repaired. Sometimes even alcohol addiction is because something is speaking in the person's head. He wants to be able to shut that in and forget his sorrows. So he begins to drink. Society doesn't see this. All society knows is that guy is a drug addict. They don't know something. How did he even start being a drug addict? And you know, I was saying it to church jokingly. Respect smokers. So. And you know, I was saying it jokingly. Somebody produced something and wrote behind it. Smokers are liable to die young. Somebody else will read it and buy it and smoke it. The person made a decision to die young. That's a serious decision. Respect them. It's not easy to choose to die young. But sometimes what leads people to that thing is, you know, some people don't know they have a problem. It's when they now leave school, they leave house, and come out. Something has been damaged so that seeking for acceptance. The only way to get acceptance from that lodge he has moved into is people are rapping Igbo. If he doesn't rap that Igbo and smoke with them, they will say he's not a man. So because he doesn't have full acceptance from home, he wants to rap it to prove that it's something. Something is hurting him. So drug addiction, even what we call sex addiction, addiction to sex and all that. It's because there are wounds in the heart. There are things that have gone wrong. Some people is sexual abuse. Sometimes sexual abuse is not even that somebody was touching you. Some of the sexual abuse is you see some of you, it happened to you when you are young, when you are 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, your elder brothers or sisters will bring pornography and be playing for you guys. You guys are watching. They were damaging yourself growing up. Before you get to 14, you want to explore all those things that they showed you. I get what I'm talking about. So the guy grows up and becomes sexually addicted or become perverted. That is sexual perversion. Let me give an example of sexual perversion that you might not know it is. Some people grow up, they don't ever want to have anything to do with women or sex, even when they marry. Something has happened in their childhood and they don't find it interesting again. Others grow up, they are into every woman. They don't even want to commit to anybody. They just want to be sleeping. And he doesn't know something is hurting. There's something in him that he needs to fix. Sometimes it is they've talked him down, so he's having low self-esteem. He knows that real men, as they've told him, are men where they use women. So he wants to be part of it. So he begins to use different women at different times. He's hurting. He's sick. He needs healing. And I'm saying it because if you know this category, you need to begin to trust God because there is healing in God's word. Amen? This is that people are sick. Even what you call homosexual, whatever, gay, nobody grows up and just becomes gay. These are products of things that have gone wrong inside the person as he was growing up. It might be what he was exposed to. It might not even be. It might be that whatever. You know, I've seen cases of parents malhandle them and then they grow up looking for acceptance, looking for love, and this guy approaches them and begins to show them excess love and then now begins to demand whatever, something strange from them. They don't want to give in to it, but the guy is demanding for it. If they don't do it, they will lose the guy's love. So this is where some of this can start from. A lot of healings that need to happen in the hearts of people. So one I want to talk about. Some people, what it produces in them is it makes a beast out of men. Especially towards women. You see men that are very, have you met men that are very antagonistic? Very tough. They are sick. They need to heal. They now marry, they want to intimidate, not before they even marry, they want to intimidate every woman. They feel kabarata. That's why you see to touch men in church. You make a woman leader over them, they have a problem with it. They are sick. I don't get the point. They feel no woman should be able to talk to them. Get out. Don't go there. Don't talk to me like that. How can that woman? Let me even say something to you. That you see, in Christ, there's no gender. Gender only exists at home. Did you get what I said? It's only marriage. In Christ Jesus, Bible says there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither male nor female. That's why all of us are sons of God. The ladies inclusive. But the guy that is hurting becomes a beast towards women. That's what produces men that beat their women. That's what produces men that abuse their women. That's what produces men that manhandle women. Because they need healing. But nobody's offering it to them. Everybody's telling them what they must do, what they mustn't do. And I'm going to ask you that after this meeting, if you find yourself, begin to seek, trust God to heal your heart. Trust Him to heal. Because this is, you know the problem? You might not even know what exactly caused what you are doing now. But you just find out that you grew up to meet yourself. This is just you. I just say it, ladies. There are guys and there are men that are so bitter against women, that, I'm telling you, when we were in school, lecturers, once a woman enters the office to ask for anything, they can never grant it. They can never. Some of us are woman rapper. Once a woman comes in, they agree. But this, once it's a woman, the guys will go and say, guy, what do you want? He will give you. Once a woman, he won't agree. He's sick. One other thing this thing produces, some sign of this thing is it produces weak men. You see, if you're a trainer, a father, a mentor, don't shut your men up.
Think what I said.
Don't ever create an atmosphere where your men cannot talk. If notice me, the way I mentor people, self, if you're very close to me, that's the way I mentor guys. Don't create an atmosphere where they'll be fidgeting before. If you create that atmosphere, that's the kind of men they will be. They cannot face life. These are the kind of men that finally get married and their wives are controlling them, telling them what to do and what they must not do. Because somebody at a time shut them up and made them put them to a point where they can no longer say, they can't talk. They can't talk. Don't shut your men up. I get to the point. Don't. If you're training people, don't make them keep quiet. Teach them how to talk, but don't shut them up. I don't get the point. Teach them the right things to say, but don't intimidate them. Don't step on their ego and on their pride. If you do it, you think you are trying to humble the person. But you've not just humbled the person, you've made the person nothing. He cannot even stand up to life again. He can't talk to people. You call a man out to the crowd to talk, and he's almost urinating on his clothes. A guy. I get what I'm saying. And these things, it produces such, either it makes peace out of women or it makes them weak. I told you, when you begin to see a woman as something you must intimidate, it's a product of a curse. I told you. That Genesis 3 verse 16. It's a product of a curse. God told, said your husband will rule over you. That was what God told Eve because Eve fell. So you cannot live your life like that. Something is still wrong within. Some of these sources, I can mention many of them. Some of them, for instance, this one I mentioned, some of it comes from growing up, seeing your father beat your mom. If you saw that one, begin to trust God for healing. You will just marry and reproduce the same thing. I get what I'm saying. Women should not be beaten. Because I said, why should you beat your wife? Why should you hit your woman? Why should you even slap? Who sent you? Why should you even threaten? All this, I'll slap you. Don't be saying it. Once you begin to threaten, I'll slap you. One day you're going to do it. Let me get a point. Well, that, no. You grew up seeing your father beat your mom. See. Or you grew up seeing your father insult your mom. When you marry, you just follow suit. Idiot. Yourself. Ladies are just like that. And that guy needs to heal. He needs to heal. For instance, another thing that you find in guys that are hurting is depression. I want to talk about this because many guys are depressed. They just don't want to agree they're depressed. Do you know the reason why many people are pursuing money? It's because they're depressed. They are so depressed, so they're pursuing money because they believe money is the way to come out of the depression. Do you know what I'm talking about? You guys are depressed. They're just down. That they feel they're not meeting up to tight. They feel that it's an appointment to their parents. Some of you don't call home. The reason you don't call home is because you're already feeling like you're disappointment for your father. So if you call him and he's asking for money. So there is that depression. So they get into drugs, or they begin to pursue money with their life because they want to cure the depression. If you are like that, you might get our teaching I did on that breakout service. Get the message on the site, breakout. There's a way out of depression. It's found in God. It's a serious matter. You see guys that want to commit suicide. Do you know why a guy, do you know why a girl will leave a guy and the guy wants to die? The guy is sick. He lacked love and acceptance growing up. So for him, the girl staying with him is a proof of acceptance. Listen to me, guys. Value women. But no woman should leave you and you want to die. You get what I said? No woman should leave you and you want to die. I have a son that was chasing one girl. 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. The girl was saying, I don't want. I'm insulting. I've told her I don't want. Leave me alone. Stop disturbing me. So I called him. I said, who is your father? You can't learn that from me. The girl doesn't want, fine. But at that point, it meant more to him. It's a thing of, how can a girl reject me?
Do you get what I'm trying to say?
How can a girl say no to me? And I told him, I said, do you know that you don't love this girl again? She said, it's a lie. I said, fine. If this girl finally agrees for you guys to not date up to 3 months, you are still pursuing this girl to prove to yourself that nobody can reject you. I don't get a point. I said, don't love this girl again. No girl can treat you this way for 5 years and you still love the person. It's not possible. It's not that the girl was saying no. The girl was saying no, insulting him. Leave me. My call, I not pick his call for 3 weeks. I said, see you. See, let me tell you. That's not what I learned. You won't pick my call for 3 weeks. It means that people are trying to call from all over the world. And I'm calling you, will not pick. I'm not angry with you. Just go. But you see that guy that is broken within. He feels something. So this girl rejected me because I'm short. She rejected me because I don't have money. She rejected me because I'm fat. Most men are working out today, not for health purposes, but for acceptance purposes. I get the point. Just to be accepted, so it look like, say, we belong. See, depression is a bad thing. And those things don't cure depression. You just be feeling yourself. You think you're feeling well. Something is still eating you. Deep. Eating deep into you. I've been talking about cultism and social vices in this meeting. But it's another sign. Most cultists are hurting. Something happened that they were not able to deal with. For most of them, it's acceptance. Some others is peer pressure. Acceptance. This is a big issue. Most guys don't. You know, there is something natural about ladies. It's easy to care for a lady. Hope you know. It's difficult to care for a guy. Get it? Because some of you that are guys, you already know that when you have a female child, you take care of that one. You just don't know how to deal with your male children. Let me try something here. Look at your neighbor. Look. Now tell the person, I love you. Do it. Do you know what I'm trying to prove? Men don't know how to show love to men. They don't even know how to receive the love. When they say I love you, they don't even know what to say. They say, Baba, mind your business. You know, the first guy that ever told me he loves me is my spiritual father. He said, I love you, son. I didn't know what to say. I'm telling you, because we did not grow up like that in my house. Say thank you very much for loving me. No, men did not grow, most of us did not grow up with love. And this thing goes, it's a very thing. You see, as a guy, we start having children, make it normal to tell your male children that you love them. It's not strange in any way. It's strange because nobody was telling you. If you mustn't use love, make it normal to compliment them. I don't get the point. Say this. Do you know I found out that words affect men than they agree to admit? I get the point. Words affect. We don't want to agree. Words don't get to me. It's a lie. Words affect men than they agree to admit. Especially words from people that matter to them. Ordinary girlfriend, there's something she can say to you. You become very uncomfortable. But many people lack that. So they now enter school. They want to join. Do you know, the thing that is acceptance they're looking for, most of them, once they're done with school, they've joined the court. Once they're done with school, they begin to shift away from it. They don't want it. I don't get the point. They just wanted to belong. So once they're done with school, they begin to withdraw from the good stuff. Begin to withdraw. One week, some of them will tell you, say, that school thing now, I don't finish. You know, they, meaning they know it is wrong. But because something in them is crying out for acceptance. I tell you what, that's why I call this meeting. Because they don't call meeting for guys. It's only for ladies. Ladies conference. Women in power. Women in politics. And so, they're trying to make the women feel accepted. The men are not, nobody feels that. So, if you have an issue, deal with it. And when you have opportunity to raise male children, don't raise them like weak men. But don't raise them to become hardened. Don't do that. And so, many things this produces. Desperation is another sickness many guys are suffering. They're so desperate to make it. A guy should want to have money. A guy should want to blow. But a guy should not be desperate to blow. It will lead him into trouble. It will make him make wrong choices. It will make him, I know I'm talking about, it will make him compromise and do a lot of things. If I was desperate to blow, I won't be doing ministry now. Or the kind of ministry I'll be doing would have been to blow ministry. You know, there is to blow ministry. If I want to blow now, in 3 months, it's very easy now, you know. Just change my message. Say one or two things. And this, I'm telling you, is not hard. Even if you will not fall for it, some women will fall for it. Oh, you know this woman? I've not seen women fall for prayer houses. All your mothers, they go to prayer house. And you can't stop them from going there. It's in them. It's peak. It's like peak. It's in them. They want to be everywhere. They want to be everywhere. And just be telling them bad things happening to them. Say, ah, they're pushing you in your place. Say, ah. He said, you have a son, she. A woman should have a son. He says, I have a son. Say, where is she? Say, he's in. He said, things are not moving well for him. No woman believes something is moving well for the child. You know it's true. What's the things are not moving? He said, yes, so things are not from one problem to another. But he, she, he said, yes. Somebody in your village. And because so if I was desperate about making money, I can go into all those. And I'm anointed. I want to be faking it. I'm very anointed. You know, she? Very, very anointed. Hallelujah. So the only thing it will take will be for me to just tweet. But don't be that desperate. I love Jesus. Amen. So let me talk about healing quickly. I've mentioned many things. I've not mentioned others, but I'll just go straight. One of the first things the man needs is what we call salvation. That's why, thank God, you are born again. Salvation. That begins the process. Salvation saves man from sin. It saves him from Satan and his influences. Salvation. So, every man must be born again. That's what the theory is there. It starts from there. Starts from there. It starts from salvation. Jesus gets into the man's heart. There's something I didn't say. There are different categories of men. There are some, we have unbelievers. After unbelievers, still under the category of unbelievers, there are people that are, guys that are perverted, that are damaged. They're still unbelievers, but they're damaged. You know, some guys are unbelievers, but they're not really as damaged as others because of upbringing and all that. Some are damaged. Then we have the believers. But I see believers that are damaged. We now have the men we call the recovered man. The man that has been healed from all these things, he's standing very strong now. So salvation starts the process. Secondly, I will talk about forgiveness. Why am I always talking about forgiveness? Because that's actually what it starts from. Who do you forgive? Two people. One, people that hurt you. If your father was not there for you, forgive him. If there was one particular, if there was one particular guy that was one that led you into stealing, or that led you into smoking, or that led you into causing, forgive the person. That's where you start healing from. I didn't say go back and become the person's friend. No, just forgive him in your heart. The second person you need to forgive is yourself. Because sometimes I feel like I've disappointed myself, I've failed myself. Forgive yourself first. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. I know you are doing drugs. I know you are doing that. I know you are, you know, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Learn forgiveness in Christ Jesus. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, we learn how to forgive people. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Glory to God. Say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And he tells us how in verse 32. Forgiving, okay, be a kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So you see how God has forgiven us, we forgive that way. So please forgive. No matter everything I say today, if you don't forgive the people responsible for these issues in your life, you can never move on from them. A lot of guys are angry with their past, with their fathers, their biological father. Was there ever a time you were very angry with your father? Seriously, I'm serious. Is there? Not like he annoyed you, like you are angry, you grew up angry with him. Why? Some just feel he did not try. Others feel he was never around. You know, our parents raised us like they were masquerades, and we were. If you just hear him coming back, you readjust. You know, the way you raise your kids, the way God raises us. You see how God raises us? You make a mistake, he's still looking for you. Adam, where are you? That's how God is. But he disciplines, so you know, right? You know, I've talked about God's discipline. The discipline to correct you with words, shouts at you. Has the Holy Ghost ever shouted at you? Has he ever corrected you? He does. Sometimes he does it through your pastor, shouts at you. But then he still shows you love. That's how. But then some of you grow up and forgive your father, forgive your mother, forgive the people involved, forgive your father in sin. I say that is what we call father in sin. The first person that introduced you bad things in this life. You must not have that kind of father. You are remembering him. The first person that gave you the first tick of cigarettes. The first person that taught you how to child woman first. Amen? And now you are angry with him. If I did not meet that boy in my life would not have been like this. That girl or that guy that molested you as a child, forgive the person. Forgive the person. You know, somebody, a guy told me, I met a guy. I can't forget this experience. I was not even very school. 2004. We went to the village. I was a small boy. He was a small boy. This boy was 14. The things he knew at 14, even now I don't know it. Do you know? Let me tell you a story. That guy, I was working with one of my cousins. This is my cousin. He's very, very old. Not like old. Compared to me, she's older than me. It's not 2 years. It's not 3 years. I think 4 years or so. And I was working with the guy. Went to the village. I was working with her. And the guy saw me and hailed me. After everything, I met him. I was like, I see that baby you carry. Wow. I said, are you even mad? I was in jestry. I was like, babe. I said, even if I'm going to carry babe, that girl, that's my big sister. And I said, you know, still me, Sha. I said, wait, so you used to, he said, Ahena, do you know what happened? This boy is so bad. He was the first one I wanted the baby to take alcohol, to drink this thing, Joy. He just did. Do you know what happened? This boy has a lot of elder brothers. And these elder brothers are not good elder brothers. They are very bad. So I was asking him, so he used to carry women. He said, I said, what is that? I used to sleep with them. I said, you, just three. I said, how do you used to do it? Do you used to go to the bush? I asked him. He said, bush, I'm man off here. That's what he asked me. I said, so what do you used to do? He said, our house now. I said, a personal house. And I said, no, a family house. I said, you used to bring there to your family house. She said, I said, what of your brothers? I told me, on how they make her. And that's how the thing started. He said, every night they don't allow us to sleep. So the brothers will bring, get a point, get a family, bring guys, girls into the house and be sleeping with them. And he will be overhearing them. Not that in itself is abuse. You're abusing the child. I don't get a point. So he grew up as a gesture. Was already seeing my big sister as a potential babe. I don't know where he is now, but if he has not met Jesus, that boy has gone foul. He knows, he knew too much for his age. He was not just in me. He now called one of his friends, peer pressure, thank God for Jesus. He called one of his friends, I was telling his friends, he said, see this my guy. Look at the form, say, he need a carry woman. And they were like, we went for, you know, that time we used to picnic in the village. My brother's what I'm talking about. I said, carry which woman? Missing me, my ACM. How can I be carry? What do I know? Glory to God. You know, but that's how the guy is. If he now grows up and you now see him from one carrying prostitutes, you know, you see men, they are all into prostitutes. They are sick. Oh. In sickness. Have you seen those prostitutes? Don't they disgust you? Are they not dirty? No, forget it. This is not born again something. You see them? I see the, even though I'm passing some of those, I can't, it's not about forming pastor. I can't even be corrupt enough to go there. But you see men, you think it's normal. Hallelujah. He knows about gonorrhea. He knows about syphilis. He knows about staphylococcus. But he is going there. That's why we need to change sometimes the approach we have towards evangelism. You don't go to people and begin to attack them. Some people are actually sick within. You provide healing for them. I don't get the point. Because it's not like they know what they do. They know it is wrong. I think they don't know. They know. So salvation begins the process. Then forgiveness. Forgive the person that led you into that thing. And forgive yourself too for all the plenty mistakes you've made in this life. Forgive yourself. Why should you forgive yourself? Because God has forgiven you. And let us sing. God has forgiven you. For Christ's sake, God has forgiven you. Forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has. It's in the past. No matter the crime you've committed, God has forgiven you. Settle it in your heart that God is not angry with you. No matter the crime, is in the past already. I get the point. So I'm forgiving. I am forgiving. The problem is the things that you are hurting about, God has forgotten them. He said, I will blot out your transgression. He said, I will remember them no more. So I'll talk about forgiveness. Then I'll teach you to learn the love of Christ. Learn the love of God and grow in it. Okay? Learn the love of God and grow in it. There's, you know, Ephesians 3 verse 16. Learn the love of God. You see, that's one of the things that is going to start curing your heart. After this meeting, I can recommend some books for you, some tips. Grow, learn God's love. Let it sink deep. He said, verse 16, let the love of God sink deep into you. As it begins to get out of you, begin to break out. Because some of you that have acceptance issue. If you learn the love of God enough, you know that you are accepted in Christ Jesus. And that acceptance can be enough for you. This very truth changed me. When I was growing up, I was very short. I didn't even know I would grow to this level. I'm being very frank. And my friends used to yab me. Junior class? Yeah. My son name is Odo, so they call me Obero Odo. No, that was my son. You know? Somebody saw me recently, I called me that, you know. I said, no, it's now Nugoda. I'm taller than you. didn't know. So it was when it got to a time, I was so conscious about my height that I made a mark on the wall. Who else did it? Every day I'll be going to check, have I passed? I don't know whether you think you used to grow in one month. You're not growing anyway. You're just like that. I think I was going to grow to this, but I didn't know. So, you know, your acceptance is not in your height. It's not even in your money. It's in Christ. Learn it. I didn't say hear it. I said learn it. You don't know it because you heard it. You know it because you continue in it. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Continue. Might in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being grounded, be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the sense what is the breadth, the length, the depth and height. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ. So you need to know the love of Christ. He said the love of Christ has depth, it has breadth, it has height, it has length. You can't exhaust it. Go back to verse 18. Put up NLT. Hallelujah. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. This will heal you in so many ways. And it's not by hearing it. Stay on it. I'll give you a therapy. Stay on it. Learn the love of God. Come up a little. Learn the love of God. Just let's prepare in the Holy Ghost. The love of God. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Do it again.
I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Do it one more time. Sing it. Everybody sing it yourself.
I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven
tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible are seen. This is the dearest that Jesus loves.
I'm so glad.
I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
Do it one more time. I'm so glad.
I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, even me.
And though I forget him and wander away,
when he is built,
I see the great King.
Back to his dear loving arms,
do I flee when I remember. Do it again. Though I forget and wander away, do it again.
Though I forget.
to his dear loving arms.
Jesus loves me.
Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great thing. This shall be a song in eternity. Let's do this again.
Oh, if there's only one song I can see.
Hey.
When in his beauty I see the great king. This shall the song in eternity be. Oh, what a greater than Jesus loves me.
I am so glad
that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me.
Listen to the last verse. Jesus loves me and I know.
Jesus loves me and I know I love him. Love brought him down for a poor soul to redeem. Yes, it was love that made him die on the tree. Oh, I am certain that Jesus loves me. Hey, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I'm so glad.
I am so glad that
Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Bring it down. I want everybody to sing. Sing your way. Sing it.
Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Sing it with conviction.
Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me.
Do you know it?
Jesus loves me.
Please, for the third time, with more conviction. Say, I am so glad.
I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
Now look up. You grew up lacking love. Eh? Know this thing I'm saying. I didn't say hear it, know it. Learn it. Stay on it. Tell it yourself every day. Some of you need to put yourself on a certain therapy. Wake up every morning and tell yourself, Jesus loves me. He loves me. And his love for me is, I don't need to do drugs to be accepted. I'm accepted in the beloved. I don't need consistency to be accepted. I'm accepted in the beloved. I don't need to be anything. I'm accepted in the beloved. I will have money. I don't need to have this to feel accepted. God accepts me. He's not looking at my bank account. Are you getting me? Settle it in your heart that God loves me. I'm the one that God has loved. You look past my sin, my guilt, my shame, and you poured your love. You look beyond me, oh.
You look beyond me, oh.
You look past my sin, my guilt, my shame, and poured your love. You look beyond me,
you look beyond me, oh.
So I sing the song, say that
I'm the one that you have shown mercy.
you have shown me mercy. And you have shown me mercy.
I'm the one you've shown mercy, say.
I'm the one
that you
have shown mercy.
You have shown me mercy.
You have shown me mercy.
You have shown me mercy.
You have shown mercy.
Look past my sin.
You look past my sin. My guilt, my shame, and all your love. Oh, you look beyond me, oh.
You look past my sin.
You look past my sin.
My guilt,
my shame, and all your love.
You look beyond me.
You look beyond me. Oh.
You look beyond me.
You look beyond me. Oh.
And so I sing the song, say
that I'm the one that you have shown mercy.
You have shown me mercy.
And you have shown me mercy.
I'm the one you have shown mercy.
I'm the one
you have shown your mercy. So let's do that song with the other day. The love and grace that you have shown, so great, I could never be bound.
You have given me the ray of God.
Ha! The love you have shown,
the love and grace that you have shown, so great that I could never be back. You have given me free of God.
Say I could never be home. Say, I can never pay. Oh,
I can never pay. You have given me free.
One more time. Everybody say, I can never pay.
I can never pay. You have given me free.
One more time. Say, I can never pay. Oh, the love and grace that you have shown, they are so great, and I could never be bought.
You have given me free of charge.
Everybody sing it.
The love and grace that you have shown, so great that I could never be back. You have given me free of charge.
Say I never give. One more time, say, I can never pay back.
You have given me free of charge.
Settle it, God loves you. Right? He can never be overemphasized. Even if you say it every day, he can never be overemphasized. That is where healing starts from. I preached a message on me, a guy called growing in your love nature. That is the nature of God. That you grow, the way you grow it, to become more loving, more caring, more everything, is to grow in the love of God for you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. You don't need to beat women to prove a point. You don't need to abuse people. God loves you. How to become more loving is to know how God has loved you. Where did you get that from? Ephesians 5 verse 1. He said, and love your neighbor, even as God has loved you. So you love as God has loved us. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Verse 2. Now it says, verse 2. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. So it is when I see how Christ has loved, that I can now live a life of love. Which is why, as you are standing, not say, just pick your notes. Beyond the keyboard. That's why you find out, learn the love of God.
And I want to tell you one more thing that will help you heal from this. Throw yourself into God and grow. Allow the word of God shape your life and your beliefs. You know how healing happens. Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's when you begin to renew your mind with the word of God that transformation comes. Don't just hear this thing. Don't just come to church for coming sake. Allow God's word heal you. Allow his word shape your belief. Then, I'll say two more things. Break us from the wrong company. That company that always makes you live in that cycle of sickness, break us from it. Stop playing with them. If you have a group of guys that believe that women should be this, break us from them. People that believe, like, break us from them. You want to help yourself. And I will say, seek help if you need to. Seek help if you need to. Because, control the sound, because the help that you need is in men. And I'm going to close with that. Are you getting me? If you have come and talk to us, there is no two ways about it. Let me show you a scripture. 1 Samuel 22 verse 2. Talk to us. Let's help you. Say, sir, this is me. You don't share your issue with everybody, but you need help. Men need help more than they know from people. Bible said, then others began coming who were in trouble or in debt or who were just discontented until David became. So, this, look at the state of these men. They were in trouble. They were in debt. The story is that later, I don't have time for this, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, these guys grew up to become David's mighty men that shook nations. But when they came to David here, they were in debt. They were in trouble. Put up Message Bible of this verse. This verse. They were in debt. They came to him. If you read 2 Samuel 23, it is mad. The kind of exploit these guys did. But who, look at who they were when they came to David. Not only that, but all who were down on their luck came around. Losers and vagrants and misfits of all sorts. David became their leader. So it's possible to come to a man and you're a loser. Your life is messed up. God has put it in that man to make you better. So open up, seek help if you need to. I get the point. There is answer. Let me tell you, don't be shy about anything. No. If I find out, sir, I'm just into women, I find out that every time I just keep going, I can't help it. Come and talk. See, nobody's going to beat you. I don't get the point. You are not my pastor. If you're my pastor, you will know. All of us had such issues too. Are you getting the point? And we met people and talked. And we are still talking till now. It's not, you can't come and find yourself, you just, some of you, you know, I find I'm very abusive. I hit women. I do this. I just want to. Some of you, you are still at this age. You are still hitting your younger sister. It's a sign that tomorrow your wife is going to step on your toes and you start hitting her too. Start healing from this. Seek help. But I want to give you a last scripture. Then I'll pray for you. How many of you know God heals these hurts? Psalm 147 verse 3. So we're going to pray. Lord, fix these things. Put up King James. Some of you are not actually thinking about this. But like I said, I want to expose some of these wounds. So that you will stop seeing that those things as normal. That's just me. I just like drinking too much. I just like smoking too much. I just like hitting people. I'm just abusive. That's just me. I'm just under pressure. I just want to blow. I'm just addicted to sex. I just like, no, that's not you. It's the issues you didn't handle. He said, he healed the broken in their heart and binded up their wounds. That's what God's going to do. Proper translation, he heals the broken in their heart. He binds up their wound. NLT said, he heals the broken heart. He binds up their wounds. That's NIV. Message said he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. So if there are things that has gone wrong in you, in your heart, as you are growing up, God has the capacity to mend it. So that you'll be a better father tomorrow to your kids. So you'll be a better man to the society. So you'll not live in bitterness. So you'll not live angry. So you'll not live depressed. So you'll not be using people up and down. So that you will not mess your life. That's why I told people, you see, suicide is a deep matter. People that commit suicide is not the issue that made them commit suicide. You know that people that are naturally suicidal. You know that people like that. What causes it? There are wounds in their hearts that they could not move on from. But before they committed suicide, well, how are they fighting it? They were using everything. They were using drugs. They were using alcohol. They were using their books. They were using everything. But they can't help it.
that is healing in God. Amen. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. You are going to pray and say, Father, help me. You know, as your president knows, I said, he has never seen any man that asked God to help him that he didn't help. And that's the truth. And prayer, friends, is a proof of humility. How many of you know? If you don't pray, you are telling God that you don't need him. You are saying you can run life on your own. So when I ask you to pray, pray and talk to the Lord. So Father, I need your help. After you pray, I'm going to release some words over you. And we close the session. Lift your voice, pray. You cannot live like this forever. Some of you remember some incidents in your life that you thought you have moved on from. Now that's steady, you are now seeing why you are like that. Some of you can never show care to any human being because you did not grow up receiving it. Say, Father, I want to be the man you made me to be. That man like Jesus. The man, the kind of man that Jesus is. Just say, Father, help me. I'll give you time. I'll give you time to just pray. So I will not interrupt you. Just pray. Only you can help us, Jesus. Only you can help us. We want to become better men, stronger men. The men you made us to be. The men like Jesus. The Jesus kind of man. Full of compassion, full of love. Living the right way. Being the man you've made us be. Only you can help us. Name. I have this leading in my heart to say to some of you, there's a lot of pressure out there, but I'd like you to not forget this. Jesus cares about you. I just got as a word for you. You see, in that pressure to blow, pressure to, Jesus is there. You know what I'm saying? Don't ever forget it. In the hustle, that's how I heard it. In the hustle, Jesus is there. In the hustle, Jesus is there. Because it's part of the thing that people are suffering from.
Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is gone. There is not a friend like the lovely Jesus. No.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.